The tank is full, and we're moving through the Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford and Rosie on the house.
Well, the beginning of the hour, we talked about Commodore Perry Owens, who was actually named after his grandfather, Perry Owen, who was a Commodore in the U.S. Navy. And they call him the Hero of Lake Erie in the War of 1812. But Commodore Perry Owens was born in 1852 in Tennessee and started his move west at age 13, eventually becoming Apache County Sheriff, and was the sheriff at the time of the Graham-Tewksbury's War, and was the one that was dispatched to go arrest Andy after the killing of John Tewksbury. When he arrived at his home in Holbrook, he insisted on going alone, saying, if something happens to me, so be it, but I don't want anything to happen to y'all. Stay here. Walked up to the door, said, Andy, I've got a warrant for your arrest. I'd like you to come with me. Andy made his final mistake right there by responding with raising his revolver and trying to shoot Commodore Perry Owens, who had a rifle in his hand, ended Andy's life and two others who were in the house that tried to shoot back at him. And all four people were hit and with five rounds from Commodore Perry Owens' round and walked back unscathed. He remained the sheriff for two more years until his term was ended, did not seek re-election, and ended his final days running a saloon in Seligman, Arizona.
I did not know that.
And pictures we found, I haven't been to Seligman to verify, but pictures we found online indicate its saloon is still there.
Oh, I'll be darned. I did not know that.
We're joined in studio for this Arizona Hour with field manager, the athletic grounds, Mr. Brian Johnson. And this job at ASU has taken you to a lot of interesting places, and including the Super Bowl.
It has. Does
every turf college turf manager get to go to the Super Bowl?
No, unfortunately for them, not. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time when Super Bowl 30 came to Sun Devil Stadium. And normally the NFL has their own crew that they bring to every Super Bowl, and they did that year also, but I guess they were a little bit shorthanded, and they asked a few of us to if we wanted to help out. And we said, well, sure. And then I guess they liked the work that we did, and they've a co-worker of mine, Pete Wozniak, and myself, we have been doing the Super Bowl ever since, so the last 23 years. So I feel very lucky. I feel very fortunate. It really was the right place at the right time. But then also we were skilled enough that when we got that opportunity that they liked the work that we did and kept asking us back.
Well, how do you go from turf management to turf artist?
Well, groundskeeping is kind of it's like a double-edged sword. You know, you have to be concerned with the grass health. That's kind of the main thing. But then you also want it to aesthetically look good on TV. That's becoming more and more important, is the aesthetics of the fields.
So when you watch another game, do you get like turf envy?
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to the play that's going on. I'll flip stations, yeah. And I'll watch a horrible game between two bad teams that are playing on grass, while on a different station there'll be two great teams playing on an artificial field. I flip the stations and look for things that people are doing art wise on the field, because you know maybe there's something that we like that we can bring to ASU. So I watch football games very very weird.
Yeah, you do. Is there a field in the country that has a reputation for catching your eye?
Well, you know, I do, and I'm not just saying this because of you're an LSU fan, but I've always liked that eye of the tiger at midfield. It's just very, very creative, and it's you know, when you see that, you know where the game is. You know, there's no mistaking that. So that's one thing that it's just very unique in that most logos have a solid border trim around it. They're very, block letters trim around it. And for that logo to fade into the grass, it looks really cool, I think.
What is the paint product?
Well, we buy we get our paint from World Class Paints. It's actually down in Mississippi. And Ewing Irrigation in town here supplies that for us. They have a deal with World Class, so they stock it for us. They have pallets of maroon and gold and white, and whenever we run out of a pallet of paint, just call them up, and it's delivered the next day. So
and you're applying that with a paint pot?
With an airless machine, yeah, with hoses and airless and a paint gun. And you know, a lot of us, you know, it's obviously something that I didn't have training in. It's not like you go to a grass painting school or anything, yeah. But, you know, but it's just something that fortunately I had a skill of. You know, they just literally put a paint gun in my hand when I first started and said, here, go paint. And it all worked out. Yeah.
The paint, it's not like an exterior acrylic paint. It's got to be.
No, this world-class product is it's very grass friendly. It's a special paint. It has a lot of the extra fillers and chemicals that could damage grass taken out of it. So we can paint the fields and not really damage the grass very much.
So what are some of the more famous athletes that have trod your turf art?
Well, at ASU. You know, a favorite of mine over the years was Jake Plummer. He just had that instinct, the ability to win games, and that was a really fun season. So we were doing very well and went to the Rose Bowl. You know, I've had a number of players, not necessarily famous, that have made it big in the NFL, but I really enjoy getting to know the ASU players and kind of hang out with them and just enjoy their work on the field, their skill on the field. And they're also very complimentary of us doing what we can do to make the grass better for them to play on.
Well, you've seen a lot change in the footwear of the teams over the last 30 years.
I have. Yeah. They used to have these great big long metal spikes, and now they're all kind of plastic molded. You know, it's funny you say that. Like, I'm sure it was maybe 7-8 years ago, they had this design one year where it was a molded spike, but the back heel, the four corners of it were so close together that when players were cutting, it was almost like they were cutting these little 2-inch squares in the field. And fortunately, that was just one season. But footwear can be important. Just the type of activity, you know, when you have football players, when you have 22 guys out there with pointed shoes tearing up the grass, it kind of pains me a little
running,
bit.
But running the 40 in under 6 seconds, weighing almost 300 pounds.
Yeah, it's
superhuman.
It is. You know, they work really hard all summer. I see them working all summer long, conditioning and getting stronger and getting faster. It's not like they show up in the fall, you know, unprepared. They've been there sweating and working out all summer long to get stronger and to get faster.
I don't know. You tell me. I've never played on artificial. I mean, in my day, it was all grass. There seems something dirty about artificial. I know in high school football, in the summer where you're on twice a days, there's a lot of throwing up going on.
There is, and that's a concern. There are some chemicals that hopefully schools or places that have artificial fields are on top of that, because that is a problem with artificial fields. But you know, my whole viewpoint on artificial fields, there is a time and a place for artificial fields. A lot of schools don't have the manpower or the know-how to maintain a grass field, and so. I've commented before that if I was a high school athlete, I would rather play on an artificial field than a poorly maintained grass field. So there is a time and place. I'll always vote for grass, and that's the way to go. But whether it's weather conditions up north that kind of prevent it, or just overuse at a high school, you know, there are some times and places for it. But you do have to be concerned a little bit about the sweating and throwing up and all those things.
Occasional blood.
Now, yeah. As it relates to Arizona high school football, there's an opportunity that two Arizona quarterbacks will be heading off face-to-face on Sunday's game.
Well, it's more than a possibility. It's I heard.
Is it confirmed?
I heard in a drive-in today that Kyle Allen, who is from here, is going to be starting for Carolina, and then Kyler Murray is the new quarterback for the Cardinals. So, that should be a fun game to watch.
One went to Saguaro, and the other went to Desert something.
Well, you know, I think Kyler Murray. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he might be from Texas originally, but
he played high school.
But he's here with the Cardinals now. So it's a couple of young quarterbacks. They were actually teammates, I believe, at Texas A&M for a year. So that'll be interesting, two former college teammates facing off against each other.
And there was a time Cardinals Stadium was shared at ASU. Was there ever a time did they have a different painter for that, or were you painting for both Cardinals and Sun Devils?
Yeah, it's the same crew, and that was 18 years. Again, not that I'm counting, but that those were 18 long years. a lot of football. I saw a lot of football over those 18 years, and there would be, many times, 3-4 times a year where we'd have a game on Saturday night, and then we'd literally be there all night repainting the field for the Cardinals, and then working all day Sunday, and then be back to work again on Monday.
And so, tell me about your family.
yeah. They were very understanding. You know, again, like I said earlier, there's a lot of long hours, a lot of holidays, and I missed a lot of birthday parties. But, I sat down with my wife when we were dating or engaged and just said, I'm going to be missing some things, working holidays and weekends, but this is the job that I love, and she was very supportive of that.
Is she a football fan?
Not so much, no. but I enjoy that about her. She's not really a big sports fan, but I enjoy that she's not a sports fan. Okay. Yeah.
How about your boys?
And they're while growing up in Minnesota, I've kind of passed on my love of hockey to my boys. Mm, so they're big hockey fans, and not so much football. But again, I'm fine with that.
Tell me this, Brian. What's harder on a football field? A public event like a live concert or a football game?
Well, probably the worst event is we host a band day every year on our field, and it's like 35, 40 high school bands from early in the morning till late at night marching. And that really wears out the middle of the field. And that's kind of, I come in early that day and set up the field for them. And then I leave, because if I stayed there during the day, I would probably
take all their fun away, would you?
Yeah, I would be a nervous wreck. So I'll take a football game over a band day any day.